Good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you are listening to the broadcast today. And we're in a wonderful study about the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, we're continuing in our study that we began last broadcast, a life without the power of the Holy Spirit. What is it like? What is a life like without the Holy Spirit or allowing the Holy Spirit to have control of your life? So first, we talked about you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings new birth. The second thing, you can't have assurance without the Holy Spirit. He's the witness of our relationship and the affirmation from the Word of God that we have the new birth. Now, today we're going to start in the third principle. You can't be Christ-like without the Holy Spirit. Let me lead us in a word of prayer, and we'll get right into God's Word, Galatians 5 today. Our Father, we love you so much. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your tender mercies and your compassion, Lord. Thank you for meeting our needs and helping us when we're hurt, when we struggle. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God, that wonderful gift that you left with us to comfort us and guide us and teach us and convict us, to let your life shine in us and through us. And I pray you would teach us today. In your name, Lord, I pray. Amen. So our third principle, you can't be Christ-like without the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn with me over to Galatians chapter 5, if you would. The Holy Spirit produces Christ-likeness. We'll see this in just a minute. Now, look at verse 16. And this I say then, Paul's saying, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You walk in the Spirit and you won't be dominated by your old nature. That old nature won't have control of you through its lusts and through the power of the old wicked lifestyle. So it says walk in the Spirit, and that's our goal, to walk in the Spirit. You can't walk and be like Christ without the Holy Spirit. Now, why is this so? Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, competes against the Spirit. Now, what is the flesh? That's your old fallen nature before you were saved. That old sinful nature that dominated your life, that literally ruled you, and you just acted and did whatever it told you to do, pretty much, whatever you wanted to do with it. And so the flesh battles against the Spirit. And even when you're born again, this occurs in your life. But he says the Spirit against the flesh. Thank goodness for that. The Holy Spirit battles back. And he says these are contrary one to the other. The Spirit and the flesh cannot get along. They're not alike. He says, so you cannot do the things that you would. There's that battle going on. If you don't walk in the Spirit and yield to the Holy Spirit of God, you can't be victorious. You can't live the Christ life. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, under the principles of sin and the domination of the old nature that dwelt in the heart and the life of man. So now the Holy Spirit inspires in the Word of God the characteristics of the lost world around us. Now watch what he says. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery. Now we all know what that is, where a married person goes out and has sex with another person and violates their commitment, number one, to God, and number two, to their mate and the promise they made to them. He said, these which are adultery. And then fornication. Basically, fornication is sin of the single individuals. That whatever sexual sin, immorality that they're doing, uncleanness, that's of mind and actions. Lasciviousness, this is the King James Version, it means no restraint in your life. There's no control to hinder you. You do whatever the old flesh wants. I mean, you follow it, you let it lead you, and do whatever you want. And it deals in your mind and in your life. And then idolatry, that's making a God other than God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit. Could be money, could be pleasure, could be another religion. Idolatry, there is only one faith, that's in Jesus Christ. Everything is a demonic idol all other religions under Satan. And then he says, witchcraft, that's demonism. Hatred, that's hating people and just letting that bitter anger. Variance, that means discord. That's in your heart. You're a causer of discord and disagreement. Emulations, that you you emulate a copier of the world and the world system. Wrath is violent anger. There's explosive wrath. There's two words for wrath in the Bible. One's explosive anger and wrath, that people commit murder and all kind of other different things. Then there's the word that's a slow burning, simmering wrath. That's the word that's used when it talks about the wrath of God. James says it's like a dam and the water builds up behind it, and God patiently waits to work with you and deal with you, and finally that old cup is full and the judgment of God falls on you. And then the word strife, that just arguing and causing division. Seditions, again, that's rebellion against God and being an instigator of it. Heresies, anything contrary to the word of Almighty God, the Bible. Envyings, murders, we know what those are. Drunkenness, we know what this is. Revelings, party goer. I mean, just a party animal and living wild and loose and such like. So this is characteristics of the lost world. You, if you watch any television, you see them all manifested. You see the movies and the other different things that they produce and the things on television, the world, and Satan's trying to get us to conform to this world, but don't be conformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? He says, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, he's talking about habitually do these things. Now, when you get saved, you still may fall at times, but you repent of your sin, but you don't live there. That's not where your habit is. That's not where you pitch your tent. And then God works on you, and you grieve over your life, and you change your life. But then he talks about the characteristics of the Holy Spirit produced in the image of Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 5, verse 22. This is called the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit of God produces in your life. Listen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, we'll look deeper into these a little bit later in our study. But right now, we're trying to demonstrate to our lives, you can't be Christ-like without the Holy Spirit. You cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. See, it isn't your fruit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's what Jesus Christ produces. It's what the Spirit produces. You're connected to the vine now, and he flows into you. It's not something you go out and try to do every day. You said, I'm going to do this. This is going to be my list. I'm going to live like that. I'm going to love, and I'm going to be full of joy every day and peace, and I'm going to be long-suffering. You can't do it. You can't willpower it. Only the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you're yielding to his leadership and walking in the Spirit. See, the fruit of the Spirit is grown in you. That's why it's called fruit, like coming from a tree. It's a supernatural product of Jesus living in you by the Holy Spirit. You don't see an apple tree out there groaning, saying, oh, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to grow an apple. No, it's just natural to an apple tree to grow an apple. It's natural to a child of God to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, the fourth principle, you cannot understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. Does that surprise you? I remember in my own life, a man said, he says, I have a problem with the Christian faith. I just couldn't make sense of it. I don't understand any of the Bible. Then he got saved. He was born again. I remember him coming back 2 weeks later and telling me and said, boy, you know, Pastor, suddenly the Bible makes sense. It does, doesn't it? Look over to 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verse 14. What a wonderful truth this is. Listen to it. He says now, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, the natural man is someone who's never been born again. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. I mean, he'll never understand them. They make no sense to him whatsoever. I mean, none at all. It's just no help to him at all because he can't receive it. It's like in the radio wave. If you're listening by radio, if you didn't have a radio, you wouldn't hear this. The waves are in the air all around you. But if you didn't have reception, but you've been born again. You have a heart that will receive the truth of Almighty God. Now, look at the saved man, if you would. Just, you know, take a glance at this wonderful truth in the Word of Almighty God. Watch what he says in verse 9. But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither enter the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You're not going to get it out of the world. But, listen to verse 10, but God hath revealed him unto us by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit illuminates our souls and our lives. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now he makes a statement. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? He's talking about your inner spirit. And you can look at a person, you don't know what he's thinking, you don't know what's going on in his life, unless you had his spirit. So he says, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, our salvation, the wonderful truth that God has given to us and ministered in our hearts and in our lives. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us. Verse 13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You see it? Christians have a living teacher, an interpreter, indwelling them. This teacher is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Jesus said in John 16, remember when we looked at it? Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them yet. You got to grow. You got to be born again. But the disciples are growing and they're learning. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will teach you all about Jesus. He'll teach you about your relationship. As you read the Word of God, he will make the Word of God come alive. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He hears with the Father from Christ. He shall glorify me, Jesus said, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. So he's a companion. He's a tutor. He's a private instructor that's come to live within us. Isn't that a blessing? Praise the wonderful Lord. He illuminates our minds. He makes it possible to understand the things of Almighty God. So as we look at this and we walk through, you can't understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. But once you're born again, the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. Now, number 5, you can't pray without the Holy Spirit. You can't properly pray without the Holy Spirit of Almighty God teaching you and working in your heart and in your life. Over in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul talks about the leadership of the Lord working in his heart and his life about teaching about prayer, chapter 6, he's talking about God teaching us to pray. And he says that I, Lord, leading me in praying for you, that I'm lifting my voice to pray for you, and that God may work in your heart and in your life. And what a wonderful, wonderful truth that is to us. Amen. And that we're so thankful. We're so thankful for it. Listen to it. Romans 6:18. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You see? Praying in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And the word that's used for supplication is marvelously defined and illustrated for us in Job 42, verse 10. Listen to this. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job, what? When he prayed for his friends. You see it? That's what supplication means. That we pray for our friends, and prayer is asking God. Supplication is intervening for other people. Now, sometimes we don't know what to pray. We don't know what to ask. We're struggling with a situation. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says this, listen, likewise the Spirit. See, here's the Holy Spirit again, the part he plays. Also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You know, situation, Lord, I don't know what to ask you in this situation. Maybe I know what I want, but Lord, I'm not sure what you want. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit, you ever been praying? I know I was in the hospital, a lady was so sick, and she hurt so bad, and she's groaning, and she says, preacher, I'm sorry, I just can't pray. What can I do? I said, you just let those groans go up to God in your pain, that you cry out to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will present your case to Jesus. You ever had a crushed heart? A heavy, heavy soul. Now look what he says. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can look into your heart. He knows what you need. It says, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God knows what you need. He prays for you. Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father as our intercessor right now. And then we have that wonderful truth, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. What a wonderful truth. That sire groan. I've seen people that just cry, oh, God, help me, Lord. Have mercy on me. I remember a little boy at Camp Joy. He was a teenager, probably 13, 14, maybe 15. And he came forward. He wanted to be saved. And I would say, ask God to save you. Oh, I just can't. I can't. And I told him, I said, son, let me tell you what to do. He looked up, tears running. I said, you just call on Jesus. You say Jesus. You say Jesus. Jesus, help me. Jesus. And the young boy said, oh, Jesus. Man, the power of God broke in there. That little fellow's heart broke. God worked in his life. Then he began to cry out to God. You whisper God's name. I remember years ago at Calvary Baptist, we had a demon-possessed man. Came into the services, and he had been saying he was an atheist. He'd been out in the parking lot giving out atheist tracts and disrupting things. And I went out to talk to him. I said, I want you to come in. Come in and sit down. I had two big deacons. You know, sit on each side of him, about 6'5", about 250 pounds each, big boys, big Alabama boys. And they sat there, and they sat on each side of him, and I preached the word of God. And he got up to come to the altar, and they looked at me, and I looked at him. I nodded my head, so they all three came. He came to the altar, and he just growled. He said, I hate you. I hate what you are. I hate everything about you. You're afraid of me. And I told the deacons, I said, take him to my office. They grabbed him by one of the arms, and they walked him back because the church is going on. It's finished up. And I went back there, and I walked in, and he's sitting in a chair in my office, and he kind of a growly, deep voice, and he said, I hate you. You're afraid of me. And I said, I'm not afraid of you, because greater is he is in me than he is in the world. And we rebuked the old wicked one in the name of Jesus, his powerful name. Then I asked this man, I said, I know you want to be free. I know you want to be saved. Call on the name of Jesus. I thought he was going to choke to death. He'd do two or three different voice changes and different things and just to growl. And I thought he was going to choke. He couldn't. He just got out, Jesus, Jesus, help me. And boy, the power of God failed. The Holy Spirit came. That man was born again. He became a wonderful member of our church at Calvary Baptist. God changed his heart and God changed his whole life. See, God knows what we need better than we do. And he cares for us. And you really can't pray without the power of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Well, let's try to get number six in here. I don't know if we can get, I think maybe we can at least get started. Number six, you can't serve God without the Holy Spirit. You can't serve God. When you get saved, you get the giver, the Holy Spirit, and you get the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes into your life. Every believer at the moment of salvation gets a special gift given by the Holy Spirit as he's a part of, this individual is now part of the body to help the body of Christ. It's not for you. It's not to be a showboat. It's to build and help the church. Now, these special gifts by the Holy Spirit are listed in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so we want to look now at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 4 through 7 as we look at this wonderful truth and this wonderful passage of Scripture. Now, watch what he says. In verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, there's different kinds of gifts given to each individual Christian. There are diversities of gifts, but there's the same Holy Spirit that is the giver of them, that is the empower of them, and the controller of them. Now, listen to the next verse, verse 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now, Jesus is Lord of the church. He's Lord of all. There's different administrative works, different things that God uses the Holy Spirit for in your lives. And some are pastors, some are teachers, and so forth. But the controller of it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says there's diversities of operations in the way they operate. Now, one pastor may pastor a church. Another may be a teacher at a university, taking the Word of God and preaching and teaching and the different operations and the ways that God uses them, the diversities of the operation, but it's the same God which worketh in all. Here's the key, number 7, but the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every man. Now, underline this in your Bible, to profit with all. That everybody can profit by it. Every member of the church can profit, can grow, and be used. Amen? And so you can't serve God without the Holy Spirit. We're to use the gift so that the body of Christ profits. I exercise my gift of preaching and teaching. And it helps some of you. You exercise your gift, and it helps your church. It helps me. It helps others as we're using our lives for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, I'm going to stop here because we don't have the time. It's pretty lengthy as we look at this in our service through the Holy Spirit. But you can't serve the Lord Jesus without the Holy Spirit. You're working the flesh. It won't amount to anything. And as we walk in the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit of God will teach us and empower us that we can serve Him. And so the next broadcast, we'll get into that a little bit deeper. So this will be three times we've looked at the things that we can't do without the Holy Spirit. So we understand this and how desperately we need Him in our lives. And again, friend, if there's any listening today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God will convict you of your sin and that Jesus is the Christ. Listen. Open your heart up to Him. Receive Him. As men receive Him, He'll give them the authority, the power to become the sons and the daughters of God. Call upon Him and tell Him, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I want to go to heaven, Lord. I want to be saved. And you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him by simple faith. Now, if you're a Christian, you yield to the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. You give your life into His hands under the leadership of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to walk with Him and love Him and serve Him. Because we'll turn all these around to things you can do with the Holy Spirit in your life. Victor, you can serve Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. Well, our time's almost up again, and I thank you for listening and being part of the broadcast. I pray you'd pray for me that God would help me in delivering the messages of the Lord and serving Him and writing for newspapers and other things. And God would give me the strength. I had a major surgery on my neck, and it takes a year to heal, and it's been trying. And it's taught me a lot of reliability upon the Lord again and patience and waiting upon Him. What a great and wonderful God we serve. I'm thankful I'm saved. I'm thankful He's my Savior. And all of you that are saved, you just praise the Lord too. Amen. As we love Him and serve Him. And this is David Boulder. We look forward to seeing you in the next broadcast. And it's my prayer that the Lord will richly bless you.